Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode here on Sticks and Bones with your ghost host, Chelsea and Ten. Hi, Ten. How are you? What's going on?
I am good. This has truly been the month of fertility and love. For those of you wondering, we had just gone to a baby shower together, celebrating fertility at its finest. And today, what better way to talk about, you know, all of that kind of stuff, the spring collection coming out, the spring equinox coming up with the end of winter, than, you know, really the topic today. So I'm doing good. How are you doing, Chelsea?
Oh, I'm doing great. Yeah. Ten and I spent our weekend at a baby shower and it was so fun. But I have a bone to pick with the general public, not the witchy people of the world or the spiritual people. I was thinking about this last night when I came back from the baby shower. Why do people think witches eat babies? You know
Oh,
what I
that's
mean?
a good question.
When we are the ones that like want to defend pregnant women and like help people with fertility and really defend children, it is so interesting to me, because like obviously we've been doing this series on fertility and pregnancy.
Yes.
We talked about it with Polka. You know, we did talk a little bit about love and glamour magic on our Patreon, which, by the way, if you want more podcasting content from us, $10 a month, we do two podcasts a month and some extra fun content over there and some discounts. But it is very interesting that people think witches eat babies. Cause I'm like, I'm at this baby shower. I'm helping my friend set up. I'm making sure she has her evil eye bracelet on. And we love helping in this like arena, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh God.
It's
Yeah. We're
crazy.
like, oh my God, you need this? Okay. Well, we got you. Do you have this taken care of? No. Who is gifting her the hand and horn?
Women supporting women out here. You know what I mean? It's like, we're trying to make sure y'all are not getting malocchio and having issues in your pregnancy. It's also interesting because, you know, one of my family members is pregnant. So I just feel like we've walked into this era of pregnancy together where now everybody's pregnant and we're like, I don't have enough evil eyes.
I don't have enough evil eyes to go around.
Help.
Chelsea needs to get back on her sewing kick and be making
Oh
some
my
more
God.
charms.
I got to get back in the kitchen. I got to do something. I got to get back to the sewing booth. I've been slacking. Everyone stop getting pregnant. I don't have time.
No, it's so funny. And when it's like fertility in one aspect with babies and childbirth and everything, it's fertility and abundance for, you know, other things. You know, we ran into another good friend of ours who was like, oh my gosh, I'm dealing with this one issue. And we're like, you know what you need? We should have brought you a gatekeeper. I don't know why we do not carry stock from our store constantly in our bags to just hand out like goodies to people.
I don't know. It's also so interesting to me because sometimes like we are the kind of people that people will just come up to and talk about their problems to. Not that I don't love it, but I think it's that natural air of just being a person that practices magic or a witch or someone that works in this field. It's like people come up to you and automatically will be like, listen, I don't know what to do about all this. And you're like, well, let me tell you, do I have something in my metaphysical store for you that could actually help with this very niche specific situation?
Yeah. How do I stop, you know, all this stuff with like dating apps, or I'm going through
Yeah.
a breakup or a divorce? Well, girly pops out there, do we have some shit for you?
No, for sure. It's very funny. Like I'll just be sitting at a random event where I don't know people and someone will just sit next to me and be like, tell me their whole life story. And I'm like, I think it's just part of the job, if you will. You know what I mean?
It is. And it's so funny because at the baby shower, people were coming up and being like, hi, witches. How are the witches doing today?
Are you guys the witches? And I was like,
this is
oh
weird.
my God, shush. What if someone here is like, cast the witch out of the shower? You know what I mean?
And for a fun fact for anybody who's been following us for quite a few years now, Chelsea got to meet my good friend Lindsay. And if you remember Lindsay and her husband Brian, they were the ones with the house spirit over in season one.
Season one, the one that tried to punch the house spirit in the, it was like kicking it. I couldn't remember the story. And Ten was like, it's all the way from season one. And I'm like, oh my God, the first ever like ghost host hotline story was Lindsay and her house spirit. But now they're at peace. You know, they have made pietas together. They are good. They
Yes.
are golden. I'm so creepy. I went up to Lindsay because like, obviously I think she knows what I look like because I'm online, but I went up to her and I was like, she just had a baby, by the way, but I went,
Yes.
congrats on the house spirit. Not even the baby. I was like, congrats on the house spirit. She was like, you're Chelsea, right? And I was like, yeah. Like, I told Tana, I was like, I'm just going to go up to her and just say something weird.
And I said, Lindsay would love that.
I'm like, I'm just going to be that weird girl at the shower. Anyway, okay. Well, speaking of metaphysical store and fun things, February 26th, okay? For those of you on YouTube, it's not February 26th yet. But here on streaming platforms, it is February 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Today is a very important day. We are dropping the first ever spring pre-sale mystery boxes. Now, it has been quite some time since we dropped mystery boxes, but these 10 and I have been working on for the past 2 months.
Oh,
and let
God.
me tell you what they're about, because they're dropping at noon today. We have very limited quantity. We're going to be doing another wave of drops. Stay tuned on Sticks and Bones, the store Instagram account, to get updates. A lot of you are like, when do you restock? When do you do updates? Instagram. You have to follow our Instagram. We do countdowns. Sometimes we change things. We talk about our restocks there. You know, we just walk into the store and go, what do we want to restock today? So it's not like we ever really have a huge plan. It's all about what we feel is needed.
Yes.
Because we're those girls. We're those witches. You know what I'm saying?
What are the witches up to, Chelsea? What do we got going on?
Well, what can people expect from the mystery boxes, 10? What do we have going on? What are the two major things
it is
that we have? Said, speaking of fertility.
As we said earlier, this month, maybe in January, I don't really remember what is time anymore. Spring is mystery cult season. You know what? The girls are here for it. Everybody's a girl here. And mystery cult season is upon us. And the two biggest mystery religions and or mystery cults that we have been drawing inspiration from for this collection specifically is, of course, the Eleusinian mysteries that rely heavily on the mythology of Demeter and Persephone, with a little bit of Dionysus thrown in there in that mystery religion. And then, of course, we're throwing in the pomp and circumstance of the Dionysian cult with the Bacchanalia and everything that comes with that. So very, very incredible collection. It's been the whole like birthing process of this collection has been so fun to see from start to finish. And for those who are snagging the exclusive $300 boxes this time, you guys are getting a little bit extra with mystery cults, with a little ode to the cult of Isis, the goddess of 10,000 names. So we are doing a lot with that. So as always, we have two different aspects going on with these mystery boxes. If you are taking the more Eleusis route, if you will, this is all about rebirth, connection, community, all of that kind of stuff. And if you're going through the mysteries, you're going to be getting a little bit more protection, community, fire, all of that kind of stuff. It's utterly incredible.
Yes, I'm super excited. We've been working on it. The artwork's amazing. The candles are amazing. The oils are amazing. And we have a lot of fun things, trinkets. You know, who doesn't love hoarding trinkets that are going in the mystery boxes? If you're new here, our mystery boxes come with a reading from either me or 10. So we do a spread and then base your box off of what your reading said. So you'll either get something that's Eleusis focused or something that is part of the mystery. So that is our two big candles for this collection. We also have like a rolling drop happening. So more things will be coming out. We're going to be doing a Dionysus 7-day candle, something for Persephone. So stay tuned. And it's not just for people who are interested in Greek religion and you know, Hellenic belief. This is spelled stuff. So you can use this. If you're looking for more community and fire, this collection is for you. If you're trying to get back into things and really areas that you need growth or fertility or rebirth. And we're talking about fertility today in a all-encompassing sense. It's not just about people having babies, because me and Tan are not having babies. So like, we need to talk about fertility and all encompassing. While it's important and we love when women are giving birth, you know, what about you want to restart something in life or maybe try a new journey and you need the fertility aspect? So that's what it's for. Set your alarms, 12 p.m. Hopefully they're still there if you're listening later on in the day, because they usually sell out pretty fast. Anyway, so that's what we have coming. We're very excited, very proud of the spring collection. And yeah. That's it.
The spring collection is, in fact, our baby this season. And it's been really exciting to see it come into fruition. And, you know, with some of the aspects of the mysteries collection and what, you know, Chelsea and I have really, you know, done for it, what inspired us, we really wanted to hyperfixate on this episode today as a hodgepodge episode, kind of like last week's a little bit, but we're going to be covering different topics of what are some aspects in mythology that, you know, play into eroticism, fertility, abundance, all of that kind of stuff. And you know, Chelsea is coming in the second half for how can we be protecting the pregnant gal pals out there? And what are some saints that we can call upon? And how can we incorporate some of this aspect of fertility within our everyday lives, in the kitchen, in our own home-cooked meals?
Well, before you begin, I just want to say, okay, yes. like I said, we're talking about pregnancy and fertility in an all-encompassing sense, and we'll get to this in my part. But if you are not protecting yourself while you are on a new journey, or like things are really happening for you, trust that malocchio going to be hitting. So I have all the things later on of like things you can do that are open. They're open. They are originating from Italian folk practice, but I am bestowing knowledge onto you to use. So make sure you use them, please, because I'm tired of seeing people about to go do something good. Then they're yapping away to their friend that doesn't like them secretly. Mm-hmm. And then everything falls to shit.
You know, as we always say here, you can't eat at everybody's house and you can't be telling everything to everybody.
No, real G's move in silence like lasagna. Quote from Little Wayne. I always remember that because I get super excited when like, even when we have things going on and I want to tell the world and I'm like, no, Chelsea, remember what Little Wayne said. Real G's move in silence like lasagna. Shut up. Don't say it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You have to keep your cards close to your chest. You can't be playing poker and wearing your heart on your sleeve, everybody out there.
You can't. But anyway, go ahead, Tan. Take it away. Enough Little Wayne quotes.
And speaking of not Little Wayne, but speaking of mystery religions and mystery cults with this time of the year, I'm going to be talking a little bit about, you know, some fruit aspects that we see heavily in mythology, ancient art, ancient religions, traditions, all of that kind of stuff. And since we are talking about Eleusis with the Eleusinian mysteries with this mystery cult, we have to, of course, be diving into the pomegranate. I mean, how could we not? We would not be doing it justice with that. And the pomegranate is heavily associated with Greek mythology, along with mystery cults that are heavily associated with the aspect of fertility and rebirth. And while the pomegranate shares ties with rebirth, there is also the other side of fertility in the fertility coin, if you will, when it comes to erotic and sexual ties and or desires. To the ancient Greeks, pomegranates were seen as an aphrodisiac, and this fruit had both nourishment and magical properties. Pomegranates, along with apples, which I'm going to be talking about in a minute, these two fruits play a role in sexual life within the realm of marriage, which of course, you know, Chelsea and I are going to be diving into marriage later on this season. I'm getting married. I need to know all of the traditions. I need to know what to do as a bride to protect myself from malocchio because, you know, people be firing that off.
Oh, I have already prepared when I go to your wedding. Because you know me, I'm just like the malocchio woman at the wedding. I've done it twice already for my cousin. So that St. Michael statue's got to go in my suitcase somewhere. It's coming. I'm just going to hold it up in the middle of the dance floor and just start chanting in like Italian. Just scaring people away.
Could you imagine your bag has to get checked at TSA in Cancun and they just pull out like San Miguel?
Well, let me tell you, we're going to Mexico. So like there's a heavy Catholic population in Mexico and I think they'd love it. They'd be like, this girl knows what's up. San Miguel. He's here.
She knows Michael. Let's go.
He knows what's up. Anyway.
And when we are talking or thinking about the symbol of the pomegranate, many are often going to associate it with, of course, the mythology of Hades and Persephone. And I believe it's Persephone part 3 that
I think we stopped at part 3.
I think part 3 with Persephone, where it's entitled Pomegranates in Power. Please go check out that episode for more on that. But with the mythology and pomegranate symbolism in the myth of Hades and Persephone, it's really heavily tied within their mythology. But at the site of LaCroix, we see that the goddess Aphrodite is also being heavily associated with the pomegranate as well. So much so that a relief actually shows her son Eros cutting up and offering the pomegranate to young lovers. Other reliefs from the site showcase young girls, likely who are unmarried or coming up on their marriage, gathering pomegranates and apples. And remember, we often talked about before how young unwed girls would actually leave offerings to both Persephone and Aphrodite, as they offer different aspects of love, one with fidelity in marriage and the latter with lust and eroticism within the relationship. You need both for a flourishing marriage.
Yes.
The pomegranate's ties to young love is even found in an ancient Greek proverb that notes that the pomegranate belongs to the young married couples because, quote, the most beautiful offerings are meant for the most beautiful beings, end quote, which is
I love that.
So cute. And outside of marriage, there are other aspects of fertility. While fertility can have ties to having children, fertility, or fertile by definition, means producing or capable of producing abundant vegetation or crops. But I'm actually going to push that a little bit further today by saying abundance. So much so that we can actually see some traditions today of individuals breaking open a pomegranate at the threshold of their house for fertility and abundance, with many doing so upon the purchase of a new home.
So we can be doing that today. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, yes.
I feel like, you know, we're listening to what Ten's saying, but we should be taking this information and being like, okay, I just bought a new home or I'm moving into an apartment. Why are the girls not breaking pomegranates over the threshold?
I think I'm going to have to break a pomegranate at my wedding.
I think maybe you should. I'm thinking I didn't break a pomegranate over my threshold and I need to go to the supermarket at this very moment in time and do that. Like, oh my God, that's so genius. And like, no one, say it's magical. It's superstition. No one knows what you're doing. It's a belief. Like,
yeah. And spring is the perfect simple. Time. If you're just like cutting up fruit in spring, nobody's going to think anything of it.
No, they're going to be like, oh, this person loves pomegranates. Great. Good for them.
And the pomegranate juices were also used medicinally for menstruation and for postpartum health for the mother. And the symbol of the pomegranate is not just limited to Persephone and Aphrodite, but also to other goddesses as well, such as Demeter and Hera, who the former is the goddess of agriculture and harvest, and the latter is the queen of the gods, who was the protector of marriage and childbirth. We also see the pomegranate having ties to the deceased as well. And the act of opening up a pomegranate and offering it to Chthonian divinities, especially those that are heavily associated with the Eleusinian mysteries, such as Demeter, Persephone, Dionysus, sometimes a little bit of Hades, can actually count as sympathetic magic and can be seen as an offering of fruit from the year prior as a way to ensure the harvest of the year to come. And thus it creates this cycle of life, death, and life again, which was a heavy aspect seen and noted in every mystery religion of ancient Greece and ancient Rome.
This is exactly what our metaphysical story collection is based off of, is understanding life and death and the cycles, because as human beings, it's not even just physically about the cycle of life and death. Like we're saying, we're talking about things in all different types today. It's not just like about giving birth and people dying. It's, we are transitional beings. Like we go through different phases of life, yes. Whether you're a young woman that's getting married and like you're letting go of a lot of things and now you have to take on this role, or like when you want to have kids, or if you're getting a new job or moving elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And you're looking for that community, that fertility, that abundance, because listen, life can be really hard and we all go through cycles. And
oh God, yeah.
It's not just about the physical birth and dying. It's about the cycles in general.
Mm-hmm. That's so well said.
Mm-hmm.
And the other fruit that I had mentioned earlier is, of course, apples. And apples, like pomegranates, are going to be heavily associated with this aspect of fertility. But the apple, in my opinion, falls on the other side of the fertility coin. It's a fruit that's known to strengthen marital connections. And it may be, in fact, seen as a token of love in ancient artwork, ancient plays, ancient literature, that the apple really becomes almost a symbol of love that would potentially lead to marriage and those connections. And the apple also seems to have ties with stirring up sexual desire. So not fertility directly, but, you know, the act of wanting to consummate a relationship, really turning on that lust, really, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And there's actually an ancient Athenian custom of throwing an apple or a mila for erotic purposes that leads to Aristophanes writing to be hit by an apple, which today we might find similarities with our own saying of you were hit with Cupid's arrow.
I don't think I'd want to be hit by an apple. That seems like that would hurt.
That's
just
like a
chucked an
brick.
apple. Someone just chucked an apple at you. I think I would like probably bend over in pain and be like, ow.
I'd rather be hit by Cupid's arrow, I'll be completely honest.
Yeah, the proverbial Cupid's arrow, not an actual one. One that's just like a little dainty one that goes doink right in the middle of your head. No apple, thank you.
No apple.
Oh my God,
Yeah.
disclaimer, please do not go around throwing apples
Throwing
at people
apples at
now.
your loved one. But I love it, but also like, no.
Crazy.
So this is very much interconnected with creating the physical aspects of love, you know, post-concussion protocol, that these were even used and mentioned with and within ancient love curses. Apples seem to be a main ingredient, either that people are writing love curses on, or apples are mentioned heavily in love curses on lead tablets. So really, really interesting, and a good reminder again about these aspects that are so multifaceted when it comes to love. Love can cause lust, it can cause connection, it can cause community, relationships, all of these things. But it can also cause, as we talked about with Poca, this obsessive behavior, this darker side of love magic. So apples creating that sexual erotic desire can, you know, at times be a little darker.
Yeah, and we did, once again, two podcasts on that now. The darker side of love magic with Aphrodite. And then, yeah, we talked about it with Poca when we talked about fertility and pregnancy and love magic in the BIPOC world and how that's viewed. So very interesting stuff.
It is. And it's even like really connecting to the aspect of love being a battlefield, or love and war, love and hate going so close together that they are separated by such a fine line, that there's a really interesting story concerning an apple in mythology, and it has to do with the tossing of a golden apple. So the Spark Note edition for this myth is: at the banquet of Peleus and Thetis, the goddess Eris, who is of course the goddess of discord,
she
throws a golden apple with the statement carved on it, for or to the most beautiful, into the party. Just launches it. This apple is then found and claimed by three goddesses: Hera, Athena, and Aphrodite. Ultimately, this is known as the Judgment of Paris, where each of the aforementioned goddesses vie for the apple by bribing Paris. Hera offers to make him a king. Athena offers to give him wisdom and skill within battle, and Aphrodite promises to give him the love of the most beautiful woman in the world, which was Helen.
Poor Helen. We talked about her last time.
Who was already married to Menelaus, and thus begins the Trojan War.
Yeah, no thanks. Poor Helen. Did she have a say? No. I always think about it from that point of view.
But already with the apple of the aspect of creating relationships and sexual desire, and, you know, creating these this darker side with love curses with apples, or, you know, saying, no, I want the love from the most beautiful woman alive right now, which was Helen. Like, love and war, love is a battlefield. Like, these just go so well with one another. Of love, fertility is so multifaceted. Like, Jesus Christ.
It really is. And you have to really understand that when you're practicing magic, love magic, because, man, you could start something that you didn't want.
You could start your own war of 1,000 ships.
Yeah, no thanks. I mean, that's not something I want. Have a good day. I choose peace.
But for those who don't want to reenact the Judgment of Paris and thus start a new Trojan War, how are people protecting pregnant individuals out there? What can we do to help our pregnant pals?
I'm so glad you asked, because I am a witch that not only loves to do curses as well when needed, but I do love to protect the women and the children. See, it's like, gets you a girl that can do both. Okay, you got to understand one to understand the other. It's very, like I said, it's very funny to me when people think witches are like some sort of evil beings that just come out of the, I don't know, come out of the ground and just like want to eat kids. It's like, no, we're actually out here doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Protecting them. And Ten and I plan on doing an episode one day in the future talking about like, why are witches viewed this way? And like, where is it coming from? Because when you even talk about the concept of a crone, you know, they're always portrayed, like witches are portrayed as like old and evil and decrepit. And it's like, why?
Why?
Why? Anyway. Okay. So how to protect yourself. And this is not even for the women that are pregnant. This is for people who are working on possibly having a child, getting pregnant, fertility, maybe you're starting a new chapter. Maybe you are working on a project or you're looking for a new career, anything to do with like that fertility aspect. Listen, I'm going to go as far as say, even if you're gardening, right? You know, people can be jealous of your garden.
Oh God. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like for the garden girlies, I know we have a few. You know, we were doing our updates on our gardens last year. Many of people like actually emailed us and said, can you please keep doing the garden updates? Because I find them very funny because this is how everyone starts. They kill plants. They don't know what they're doing. And so I was like, I didn't know people love that.
I can't wait to start my garden again when, you know, the snow is gone. So the garden diaries will kick off again. Don't you people worry.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm going to try my hand at it again this year as well. So anyway, okay, here's what we could do. So scissors under your mattress. Now you're probably like, what the hell? Scissors, I've talked about many of times on this podcast, are very apotropaic. They cut right through the evil eye, aka the malocchio in Italian. So you can simply sleep with scissors under your mattress. Now, please be careful. Okay. Mattresses are supposed to be thick, so make sure you don't stab yourself.
Yes.
We've talked about in the apotropaic episode, the hand and the horn. Okay. If you are a girly that believes in Italian superstition and you're not wearing the hand and the horn when you're pregnant, what are we doing here? You have to protect yourself. It is a known fact, and it's a very, very, very old belief that a lot of people are jealous of pregnant women for bringing life into this world.
That's fascinating.
But it makes sense, right? Yeah. Because back in the day, okay, we're talking about ancient times, having children and keeping your family lineage alive was very important. So if you could not do that, you were considered a woman that was not fruitful and no man would want to marry you. And that's just the way it was back then.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay?
And unfortunately, those notions sometimes still exist today. So depending on where you are. So protect yourself. It's often, Ted and I were talking about this too. It's often the reason why there's a superstition. I know it's big in Judaic belief as well, that women will not announce their pregnancy until a certain amount of months have gone by, like the 3 to 4 month period. So in our family, we don't say it until like we're 3, 4 months in, because you don't want to like accidentally
like jinx yourself.
Jinx yourself. Yes. Okay. And then another one that's very easy to do is anointing a stomach or an area in which you are working on bringing fertility with olive oil. It has to be consecrated olive oil from someone that knows the secret prayers. We actually do sell this olive oil in our metaphysical store that I've personally consecrated with La Madonna, which is Mother Mary, for anyone that needs protection or is trying to bring fertility in elsewhere. So olive oil is a key, but you have to, it's not just like take olive oil out. You have to know like how to consecrate it.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, kind of like, do you know your secrets in the mystery religion kind of deal?
Yeah. Go to your local witches for help with this one. People that practice in folk practices will know what you're talking about. And another thing we do is secret Italian prayers. And that you have to know through secrecy. So there's a few things you can do. The scissor one is open. The hand and the horn is open. But if you are looking on getting like olive oil and you want to anoint yourself, we actually sell that. I consecrate it myself and it's for these things. So,
well, yeah.
And no one will know what it is because it's olive oil. It's not like, here's this witch's spell jar you have to keep out in the open. It's kind of just like, I just got some olive oil, you know?
Everybody loves olive oil, man.
Yes. But I did want to talk about in Italian folk belief, some of the divinities and goddesses that we call upon for fertility. And a lot of you are going to be shocked because, you know, most of them are not Catholic. Here we go. We have Artemis. Okay. Yes. Italian folk women call upon Artemis, even in rural parts of Italy. We have Diana. All right. We have Demeter, and we're going to be talking about wheat in a second. We have obviously the big one, La Madonna, which is Mother Mary. And there's various aspects of Mary that you can call upon based on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to get pregnant, we've talked about Mary in the milk episode where like protecting your milk and fertility for when you have to feed after birth. And then we also have Kibele as well. Now, for pregnancy, if you are trying to get pregnant, there are three saints you can call upon, okay, for the Catholic girlies out there. We have Saint Lucia, Saint Rita, and Saint Christina. So you can call upon them and ask them for their assistance. I highly recommend you do research on that and see which one further aligns with you. But there is ways that you can work with saints to help get pregnant.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, I love that Kibli as a goddess being called in, it just makes so much sense because it's more a protective aspect. Because she, if the girls who know Kibli, she is queen protector. I mean, her crown is made out of a city wall.
Yeah, so it's to protect and to help align with pregnancy. And really quickly, I kind of want to tell this crazy story about my cousin because we do actually believe a saint actually helped her get pregnant.
Oh my
So
God,
my
yeah.
cousin was working on getting pregnant and she was having a hard time because she was like older. By older, I mean, I think she was around like 36, which isn't even that old, but she was having a hard time. And so what she did was that she tried twice and it didn't work. And then the third time she went to this walk because she's very Catholic. So, like, they were going on this walk for Saint Gerard. And Saint Gerard, I don't know, I have to look it up. I think he it must have something to do with pregnancy and fertility.
Saint Gerard. All right, hold on. I'm getting
Yeah,
my
I gotta
phone.
look it up. I just thought to tell this story now. It just like came to my head.
Here we go. Saint Gerard fertility. He is the patron saint of expectant mothers, childbirth, and fertility.
There you go. So very interesting. So she goes on this walk for Saint Gerard and you have to like leave an offering or a prayer. And she said to him, Saint Gerard, like, I'm going to do this walk for you, regardless if you help me or not, but I really want to be a mom. And my cousin, her whole life wanted to be a mother. Like, so when she, it wasn't working for her the first two times, like I felt terrible. She
Yeah.
goes on this walk. She does the whole walk. 2 months later, we find out she's pregnant.
I love that.
So it's my godson, Joseph, and his name is Joseph Stephen Gerard, and she promised Saint Gerard if she gets pregnant, she will name her son. His middle name will be after him. So I always think of the story because, like, she did this massive walk, and all these women were there. And so we really believe it was like divine intervention because, and they say third time's a charm, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
So it's that like really sweetness of like asking a saint for help and promising them something and then them pulling through on it and being like, okay, here you
Oh
go.
wow. Oh, absolutely. There's that like vis-a-vis kind of transaction going on right there
Yes.
that we've seen so often.
Well, even in Catholicism, it's there. You know what I mean? People are doing this walk for this saint, and this saint, you know, you're asking for their help, and they
Absolutely.
choose whether they're going to help you or not. It's not that far off from like how we look at Greek religion.
Oh
So,
my God, absolutely. Leaving offerings, votives, anything like that.
yeah, that story always warms my heart because we just weren't sure if like the third time around it was going to work, and she was like really losing hope. But then it took and it stayed, and now I have a godson, Joseph Stephen Gerard. Anyway, so that's also another thing you can do. The symbol of wheat. So we're going to talk about the symbol of wheat because we are talking about fertility overall, and it does have to go with Demeter as well. So a lot of magic is born in the kitchen when you're looking at folk practices because they have to hide how they are doing things. So a lot of things are going to be inconspicuous. And this is something I still do. So if you're looking for more abundance, fertility, wheat is something you can add to your practice and to your life. And what do we best know wheat for in Italy? Pasta. Pasta and bread. So you could be making pasta and bread with the intention of bringing in fertility and abundance and obviously feeding it to people, feeding it to yourself. And that is huge in Italian folk magic.
I love that. Now I want to go bake bread and do this.
Well, it often makes me wonder, is it why people are so happy when they're eating pasta? Like there was a study done recently that said like pasta truly does make you happier. So,
I love pasta.
I mean, like, who doesn't love pasta?
Kevin.
I know, I didn't want to call out. I didn't want to call your own husband out, but I was like, I know one person that doesn't like pasta, but
He only liked pasta when he was in Italy, so.
I'm actually making bread right before this episode, and I did do a little bit of kitchen Italian folk magic, being like, you know, just talking about the things that I want to come to me while I eat this bread. So that's something you everybody can do, and making bread is super easy.
It
Super easy.
really is.
Yeah. But that's all I really have. Oh, I do have this fun fact about rural births in Italy that I thought was interesting because for all the girls that love divination, when you give birth in rural Italy in certain parts of it, and you have a midwife or you have an Italian folk woman that's there, midwives would be considered someone that's also part of Italian folk. When a baby is born, they actually do divination by the way the placenta is coming out and the way the birthing of the baby happens. And by studying this, the way the baby is moving out of the cavity of your vagina and the placenta, they can actually tell if the baby is meant to be a healer in the community and practice magic. So they would have Italian folk passed down to them automatically. Like someone would then take them and teach them.
I
Isn't
love
that
that.
cool?
I love all of this stuff. It's just so interesting, and there's so much to still be learned just about all of these different communities, traditions, everything, but it makes so much sense.
It's very community-based. Like when people are giving birth, it's supposed to be like it takes a village, you know what I mean? Like everyone has a part. You have someone that's like saying prayers to make sure that the mother is giving birth correctly and nothing goes wrong. We do have people that make sure that there's like no tangles in the umbilical cord and they do things. And we're going to talk about like knot magic and like knots and you know, the umbilical cord's important. So there's
Yes.
all these things that like people are doing to help make sure that this one person gives birth
Yes.
properly.
That it's all of those traditions and prayers and practices and everything. And then you can also flip it for a more like physical aspect of, say, like an amulet or a prayer or anything like that. Is there have been studies done on mummies in Egypt that are all women, and they have these tattoos on their lower back that are meant to protect them through childbirth. And it's scenes from the Nile, which was thought to have healing qualities at the time. So the fact that it could have to do with menstruation purposes, if the individual is going through a ton of pain, or if they were trying to give birth safely, and all of that, because birth, no matter which way you slice it down through history, it is dangerous.
It is
It is
super dangerous.
a dangerous act that women selflessly go through to bear children and to bring life into this world. And it's so fascinating to see, you know, people outside, for the ones who, you know, it takes a village, who are the ones caring for the women, doing prayers, helping, doing divination and everything. And then you have the actual mother themselves who are getting these tattoos, getting all of these things done to their physical body, or wearing amulets or protective aspects. And it's just this like phenomenon of birth that is just utterly just, oh, I love it.
I say this a lot, but I don't think it's talked about enough in magic that there are, like, especially in folk practices and things that you're saying, like, we're looking at it from the ancient lens as well. And this is very important stuff that, like, as an Italian folk woman, I have to learn how to do these things because it is my role in my family to make sure the pregnant women are protected because that is my job. So I think it's really beautiful when like Italian folk or a folk practice is passed down because it's something that like my aunt would have done as well. And like I'm just assuming that role because she's not here anymore. So everybody can take anything that we've said today and use it and help protect the pregnant women. You know, this stuff is all like open besides like the secret prayers I was talking about, which you don't know what they are anyway, because I couldn't say them. But you know, use it. Like don't be afraid to do these things. And like even the symbol of wheat. Right. Using that for more fertility. When people talk about money bowls, they're using rice, right? Using rice to bring in abundance, a harvest. So these are all very simple things. Magic does not have to be complicated like this.
No, it can be beautiful. It could be simple. It could be elegant. It could be something that is organic and perishable. And it could be something that you put on your body as well for a little bit more permanence. And just know everything, like Chelsea had said, know about the wheat, know about the saints, know about, you know, the Nile River, know about the god Geb, and, you know, why are these tied to fertility and birth and everything, or ancient symbols, and, you know, why were people having them put on their body? And maybe you'll find solace in it, and maybe you'll say, hey, maybe I need to be doing these traditions as well.
For sure. It always makes me feel better when like we're teaching about protecting pregnant women because my God, do they need it? Like they're like just they're like these warriors bringing life into the world and like, you know, we got to look out for other people. So, yeah, I'm happy we were able to talk about this today. Very
Oh, this
fun.
was such a fun episode.
It was really like heartwarming. I don't think like women support women enough, and it's not just women, but I mean like we need to be supporting one another. I feel like going on a little bit of a tangent, but like in today's world, the community aspect feels like it's kind of lost. You know what I mean? Like there's no more, it really does take a village to like have a baby, to raise a kid. So, you know, maybe ask someone if they need help today because I guarantee that they do.
Or ask somebody how they're doing, truly. Just
Yes.
reach out that olive branch. And that was really the inspiration behind the Mysteries collection and everything of building that community. Because remember, at the end of the day, the mystery cults were adding something to everybody's day in life that they weren't getting from the normal state religion of the day and time. So this just really adds almost that like extra level of community and knowing that you could turn to anybody out there for help and be part of something that is just so much bigger than you.
You can. Look at us. We're so cute.
Look at us getting sentimental today.
Well, before you end the episode, quick reminder, Mystery Boxes launched today at 12 p.m. I mean, I'm sorry, February 26th, 12 p.m. Eastern time. If you're on podcasting platforms, it launches today. If you're on YouTube, you got to wait a little bit. February 26th, set your alarms. Okay. If you need to know when the restock is happening, you have to follow Sticks and Bones, the store Instagram. Yes. We are going to have another drop. Date to be determined. We're super stoked. And that's all I have to say.
We're super stoked, super excited, and cannot wait to talk more about fertility, love, abundance, and so many other incredible things. Again, we have more of an incredible lineup coming out. Cannot wait to show you everything that has to do with the Mysteries collection. In the meantime, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe to YouTube, like, and give us a 5-star rating on Spotify. Leave us a review on any other streaming platform that you use. Tell a friend, tell a buddy, tell your familiar, tell your kitty cats, tell your partner, tell the bus driver down the road. Just spread the good news about the girls and fertility today. So with that being said, we will see you guys next week on another incredible episode of Sticks and Bones with Chelsea and 10. Stay spooky and stay curious. Bye.
Bye.